the Christ is. He is resurrected, but he came to die. He suffered. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. He suffered the cross, the worst death of the time, for you and me. And like I said, he was lifted up and he will draw all men to him. He is drawing us to him. Amen. He is drawing us to him. A living Savior, a resurrected Savior. Let me give you a definition of resurrected. And this is right out of our modern day dictionary. It says the state of one risen from the dead. Glory. Somebody still believes in the raising of the dead.
Yes.
Amen? It says more specifically, the rising of Christ from the dead. Merriam-Webster, look it up. Right online. Can you believe that? And then it says, the rise, and more generally, the rising again to life of all the human dead before the final judgment. Before the final judgment. That's what we are celebrating. And I said it a couple weeks ago, when we celebrate Resurrection Day, we are celebrating one another. Because if you are born again, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've gone through the new birth. And we are celebrating that new birth in Christ. You are born again. You're a new creature. A new creature. Some of y'all say, thank God. Thank God I'm new. Jesus was the first fruits. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll be reading out of the Amplified. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. If not, they'll put it on the screen. You can read it right off of there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me start in verse 12. It says, but now if Christ, the Messiah, is preached as raised from the dead, how is it that some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ has not risen, then our preaching is in vain. It amounts to nothing. And your faith is devoid of truth and is fruitless. That's without effect, empty, imaginary, and unfounded. We are even discovered to be misrepresenting God, for we testified of him that he has raised Christ, whom he did not raise, in case if it is true that the dead are not raised. He's presenting an argument here. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is mere delusion. It's futile. It's fruitless. And you are still in your sins under the control and penalty of sin. And further, those who have died in spiritual fellowship and union with Christ have perished and are lost. If we who are abiding in Christ have hope only in this life, and that is all, then we of all people most miserable and to be pitied. But the fact is, how many, I love that word, but. I love that word, but the fact is that Christ, the Messiah, has been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in death. For since it was through a man that death came into the world, it is also through a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. For just as because of their union or nature in Adam, all people die, so also by virtue of their union of nature shall all in Christ be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Jesus was the first fruits. He was the first fruits of all of us. And we are celebrating our new birth as well as a risen Lord. Amen? His resurrection is undeniable truth revealed by the spirits. Do you realize that after his death and resurrection, that the apostles, the disciples, went around testifying of that. They testified of his risen his being raised from the dead. Even though they were being persecuted, they were being killed, martyred, tortured because of their testimony. Do you think if it had not happened, they would be walking around willing to receive even death for their testimony? Saul, if you saw me do some mighty work, say I healed a leper, or you saw me lay hands on someone and their hand grew back, or you saw me lay hands on someone and they jumped up out of their wheelchair and started praising God, would you be willing to die to share that testimony for 40-some years afterwards?
Try it and I'll do it.
Would we be willing to die share a testimony that we know in our heart to be true? But would we be willing to sacrifice our life to say those words? Well, the apostles were. Unto death they testified of a risen Lord and Savior. Unto death. So why is the resurrection so important? Why is it so important? Why do we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Without a risen Christ, there is no church. There is no church. It was said that when he died, was placed in the grave, they went back, the apostles went back to their previous vocations. Peter was out fishing. Without a risen Christ, there is no church. There is no you and me gathering together, assembling together. Without a risen Christ, there is no New Testament. This book that you all must have. There is no New Testament without a risen Christ. The Gospels would have not been written, and certainly Paul would not have been compelled to write nearly two-thirds of the New Testament. But this is what he writes to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10-11. He says, "For my determined purpose is," and Pastor Rob shared this with you earlier, "My determined," this is Paul writing to the Philippians, "for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may, in that same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body." This is why the resurrection is so important. This is why we come together and celebrate his death, his life, his being raised from the dead. A risen Savior. You see, in verse 11, it talks about how we've died in Christ and been resurrected to a new life. We've been resurrected to a new life. That old life, I'm telling you, I had a past. I didn't get born again until I was 25 years old. I had a past. I went to college. I had a past. And it starts with another P. Party. But I was raised to a new life. This beautiful woman came across my way and asked me, "Will you go to church?" And I said, "Yes." But you know, the truth is, I was looking for something even before that. The truth is, there was a hole inside of me. And I couldn't fill it with partying. I couldn't fill it with anything. Nothing would fill that emptiness inside of me until someone invited me to go into the house of the Lord. And then I was sitting right back there where Kate is. And the invitation was given to give my life to Christ. And with fear and trembling, man, I raised my hand. And because of it, I'm a new creature. And that old man, that old partying man, he has passed away. He is dead. That man is dead in Christ, buried with Christ. And when I came up, I was a new man, a new creation. And he offers that to everyone. Everyone that will ask, that will accept, that will make that decision. Why is the resurrection so important? Because just like he said in verse 11, that he may attain the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts him out from among the dead. We are among walking dead. I know that's a famous sitcom, or it's not a sitcom. What is it? I don't watch it, okay? I don't know. It's a drama. I don't know. It's on TV. Anybody ever see that movie, The Green Mile, with Tom Hanks? Do you remember that scene when the young new recruit was walking in the big man, and he kept yelling, "Dead man walking," because he was going to death row. I think they used to do that and dead man walking, carrying dead man walking, dead man walking. We are walking among dead people. And hear my heart. We are walking among dead people, but it doesn't have to be that way. Just like I was plucked from death, we say I have the ability to save a life through Christ. He needs us in this earth, sharing his resurrection. Amen? Why is the resurrection so important? Without Christ, you would still be dead in your sins and sentenced to an eternity of hell without hope. Without hope, without the resurrection, without a risen Christ, that's where you would be. But we have hope in Christ. Amen? And that hope lives on the inside of us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Why? Why do we come together this Sunday of all and celebrate the risen Christ? Why do we do it? Why did you feel compelled to come today? Today, more than any other day. Today, across America, I believe you will see churches filled to the brim. More than any other day, any other Sunday of the year. Why? It's because you're being drawn. They are being drawn. You can say it's out of tradition. You can say it's because they want to show off their new dress or their new suit or their new shoes. But it is because the Lord compels them to come. He is compelling people to come and understand who he is, the risen Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, are you there? Verse 3 says this: praised, honored, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. By his boundless mercy, we have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He is our hope. We have hope because there is a risen Christ. That is our hope. If we don't have hope, then why are we here? We'll drink and eat, marry and get married today, and tomorrow we'll die. But why are we here? Why are we on this earth? Why do we go throughout our day, day by day? If there is no hope, then why? We are here. We have jobs. We live. We provide. So that we can bring hope to others. That is why you are here. If you're born again, you have the hope of Christ inside of you. And that is what people need. That is what those walking dead people need. They need hope for a new life. A better way. A better place. And He'll take them just as they are. They don't have to be cleaned up before they come to Him. Why is the resurrection so important? Without a risen Christ, we would not have the Holy Spirit. Right? Jesus said, I must go. I must go away. Because when I go, I will send another. I will send the Comforter, the Advocate, your standby, your helper. He sent the Holy Spirit. Without a risen Christ, there is no Holy Spirit for us. Turn to John chapter 14. The book of John. The last of the four Gospels. Chapter 14. Verse 16 out of Amplified reads this way. And this is Jesus speaking. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that is, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and standby, that He may remain with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, cannot welcome or take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know and recognize Him. But you know and recognize Him, for He lives with you constantly and will be in you. You see, when your spirit man gets born again, the Holy Spirit comes to reside inside of you. But in order for that to happen, Jesus had to die. He had to go into the grave and He had to be resurrected on the third day. So He could send the Holy Spirit that would be with us and remain with us forever. Amen. Last time I was up here, we were looking at what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Remember, those that were here? I'm not going to quiz you. There were 4 points. Anybody remember any of them? I'm not going to ask you. The Holy Spirit, one, teaches us all things. He teaches us all things. The Holy Spirit. Why do we celebrate the resurrected Christ, the risen Christ? Because the Holy Spirit has come to live inside of us and He teaches us all things. If you're not born again, you don't have that advantage. You don't have the advantage of the Holy Spirit living inside of you to teach you all things. Number two, He brings us things to our remembrance. So not only does He teach us all things, but He brings them to our remembrance when we need them in our time of need. You know, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. If you are filled with the knowledge of all things taught to you by the Holy Spirit, He will bring it back to your remembrance and you'll speak it out. He guides us to all truth. Wouldn't it be good to know what the truth of every situation is? You can have that. Scripture says you can. I know we all don't operate in that proficiently. I don't operate in that proficiently. But it's available to us. Why? Because of the risen Savior sending the Holy Spirit to us. For He shows us things to come. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to sidestep those traps that are all set for us by the enemy? Wouldn't it be nice to prevent those things rather than going around, like we said, stomping out fires? because we couldn't see it coming. As you hear from the Holy Spirit, as you identify with the Holy Spirit, the one that was sent, your comforter, your standby, your strengthener, your advocate, as you identify with Him, these are the benefits of a risen Lord and Savior. He teaches us all things, but also brings them to our remembrance. He guides us to the truth and shows us how the truth will come to pass. But you know what? Every person is unique. I am not like my wife. Saul is not like Brother Lee. We are all unique. We all have unique personalities. And God wants to work with each of those personalities. He doesn't want Leslie doing something that I'm doing. He wants Leslie to do what He has planned for her. Because each of us have a plan and a purpose and a reason for living. That's why He died. That's why He was resurrected. Therefore, how we hear the Holy Spirit or know Him is unique to each of our personalities. God created you to be you. Let me encourage each one of you in that. Don't look at Sister So-and-so and see how she is and say, oh, I need to be like that. Don't look at Mr. Such-and-such, who's been living the gospel for 60 years, has mountain-moving faith, and you just came to meet the Lord yesterday and say you got to be there. Now, all things are possible. I'm not here saying that. I'm saying don't compare. Don't compare. Don't compare. God created you to be you. He has a unique purpose and a unique calling for each of us. And we don't need to compare ourselves to others. You know, as a pastor, that I'll admit it's hard sometimes because I fellowship with other pastors and, you know, and I'm not like this. I don't like to talk about church when I'm with other pastors, but they do. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying they. Okay. Some do. And it's hard when you hear things and you say to yourself, well, man, we're not doing that. We're not seeing that. Or it's hard. Pastor Rob, I don't know if you've experienced that through years that y'all have been in ministry. I know. But you know, I mean, but what I'm saying, what I'm here to encourage you today, Jesus died and is risen for you. And He has a unique purpose for you. For you alone. And you need to hear from the Holy Spirit. You need to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to you for your unique calling, what you are called to do, how you are called to make an impact. Amen? Amen. And it may just be one season of you being extraordinarily kind to people around you. Jim, it may be a smile on a trail. Listen, I'm not saying you need to go out and stand on the rooftops and proclaim the gospel word for word. No, we all have. There are some people that are called to do that. We all have a unique calling. And it may be something. I mean, some people love to cook chili. I just had a vision, the good news chili wagon. I don't know what that means, Ron. Some share their extraordinary recipe for baklava every year. And it brings a smile to my heart every year. And many others. I'm telling you, God has called you to be you, and your dream is different from this person's dream. My dream car, I'm sure, is different from Pastor Rob's dream car. If I had to guess, maybe a 57 Chevy. Mine would be a 911 Porsche. Completely different. Your dream can be different than your neighbor's dream. It's okay. That doesn't mean we don't operate in the unity of the body. It means He has given us unique, specific desires, if you will, and dreams and visions to impact the world, our community. Let's not think world. Let's think community. Sometimes the world can get overwhelming to us if we think world. I was just talking to Nikki. You know, there are 326 million people in the United States. And I was walking around Target last night. Were you in there? I didn't see you. Did you see me? Good, because that would ruin my point if I saw you. I was walking in Target and I didn't recognize a single soul in Target in my little Christiansburg community. So when I think of 326 million, that's overwhelming to me. When I think of 8 billion in the world, that's overwhelming to me. I just want to try to capture the 146,000 that are in the New River Valley. And that can be overwhelming. I just want to see 250 people in this building. So don't think to where it overwhelms you. But God has placed a dream and a vision and a calling unique to you inside of you. And you need to walk in it. He knows you intimately, but He wants you to know Him intimately as well. How do you get intimate with Him? I'll make this rhetorical because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I'll ask my wife anyways.
This is why I'm in the back.
Baby, when I want to be intimate with you.
Oh, wow. It's not that
time. What, okay. What works for you and helps?
I didn't know we were doing marriage counseling this morning, but I like when you wash dish or vacuum.
Vacuum? Bam! That was not the answer I was looking for. I should have made it rhetorical.
All women want that.
All women want their men to vacuum? I mean... Oh, look at all the... I see all these heads bothered. What? Yeah. Wash some dishes. Do some laundry. Yeah. Well, what she's told me before is that when we communicate, when I communicate with her, when I talk to her about things, when I share things with her, when I go to her and talk about my day and discuss the things that went on and ask about her day and what's gone on and how was it today and what did she see today? When we communicate, communication brings intimacy. Husbands, I'm trying to help you out here. Communication brings intimacy with your spouse. It's the same thing with God. When we communicate with God, that intimacy is formed. How do we communicate with God? Through prayer. I'm not talking about religious prayer. I'm talking about conversation with God. Just like my wife loves to have conversation. Conversation is two-way. Right? It's not me just talking to God and not hearing what He's saying. And it's not just God talking to me, telling me what to do. It's conversation, two-way conversation that brings intimacy. Some of you say, I don't know how to pray, or I don't know what to pray, or I don't know how to speak to God. Well, if you're married, no, I'm not going to say that. Talk to him like you talk to your spouse. That may not work for some. But how you would converse with your best friend. You know? How your best friend, you and your best friend talk. You can talk to God like that. You can speak to God like that. And He'll speak back. And that is where the gift of the Holy Spirit comes in. If you don't know how to pray or how to speak or what to say to God or even what to ask, if you're going through something and you don't even know what to ask, the gift of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus Christ died and was resurrected and gave us, the gift of the Holy Spirit is available to us all. And what I'm talking about is praying in another language. In another language. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And husbands, I'm telling you, this gift will help you out with your wives too. When you just don't know what is going on in their mind, you can pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will intercede, and He will what, teach you all things. He will teach you the mind of your spouse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 out of the Amplified, verse 2 says this, "For one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding." You see, if you don't know how to pray as you ought, when you're just there and there's something, a situation that has confronted you or that you've gotten yourself into or that has come upon you and you don't know what to do about it, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He was sent to you as a helper. That's one of His names. And that gift, that prayer language that is a gift available to all of us, helps us in those times of need when we don't know how to pray or how to talk to God. It's for us all. So we celebrate His resurrection. We celebrate a risen Christ because of these things. And when we celebrate a risen Christ, we celebrate our own resurrection as well in the new birth. But I'm here to tell you today, if you don't have relationship that I'm talking about with the Christ, He rose from the dead to send the Holy Spirit. He is compelling you. He is drawing you in. He is wooing you. And He's saying, "Will you accept my invitation?" It's a free gift. And if you're born again, I'm talking to you about sharing this with others. The free gift that Jesus died to give us is available to all. But we are His ambassadors in this earth. We have to be taking that message out to the walking dead. Because even they can be resurrected to new life. Amen? In a minute, I'm going to have Angie come and sing a song. And if you will listen to the words, if you will allow the words to penetrate your soul and drop down into your heart, I believe it'll change things in you. I'm talking to those that aren't born again and don't have a relationship with Christ, and to those that do. Because if you do not have a relationship with Christ, today is your day. Today is your day of salvation. But if you do have a relationship with Christ, He wants you to go deeper. He wants you to be more intimate than you've been with Him in the past. He wants you to be so in love with Him as He is in love with you, That is why we celebrate a risen Savior. That is why. So as we celebrate His resurrection, celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit that He sent back to us to remain with us. Celebrate the gift of new life, that life resurrected unto God. Celebrate a clean life that lifts you out from among the dead. Celebrate. 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 Amen?
Amen.
You see, some of you are sitting here, I know, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't deserve that. The things I've done, the places I've been, the things I've said, the people I've hurt, the activities I've partaken in, there is nothing, nothing, nothing that you could have done that cannot be washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Even if you're born again, some of you thinking, oh, I'm wearing a stained white robe. No, it is pure white. And I'm telling you, in the season that we are in these last days, I believe to be the last of the last days, you're going to have a revelation of your righteousness in Christ. You're going to have a revelation of that you are clean before God. Pure, pure, white as snow, clean before God. And if you don't have a revelation of that, the enemy is going to play with you. He is going to attack you. And you will not be able to fulfill the unique purpose, destiny that God has for your life. If you do not get a revelation and understanding of your pureness before God because and only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've been. You can come into right standing with God. He can look at you through the blood of Jesus and see a pure, whole, wholesome individual. I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Him. He is compelling you, He is drawing you, He is wooing you. I'm here to say that I'm available right now to pray with you, to receive that. If you would just raise your hand and say, yes, I need prayer. I need to be made white as snow. Is there anyone that would be so bold to want to change their life? Make a change in their life. Receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Being pulled from that past and secured in a future with God. Let me say this. I believe we are in a time when it is going to take unusual courage. Unusual courage to stand against the wiles of the enemy. He knows his time is short and he is bringing everything he can. We were talking about it in class this morning, how we get through one battle and we think what we're done with that, and then another one is right on the horizon. And that's why that prayer language is so important. The Bible talks about being built up in your most holy faith, being built up by praying in tongues, being built up praying in the Holy Spirit. Why? So that you can be ready. Juana's been teaching us for almost a year now about how prayer goes out ahead. Why in this season it is so important? Because I believe that he knows his time is short. So he's throwing everything that he has at the body of Christ. And so even if you are born again, you must be built up. You must understand and have a revelation of who you are in Christ. You must understand that he is risen. And that he sent us the Holy Spirit to help us. We are in tumultuous times. Upheaval going up all around us. It's prophecy coming true. Right before our eyes, each and every day. It's confirmation that this word is true. And that we need to be helping as many as we can along the way. Amen?
Amen.
It is a message of hope. That is what you were born to be, a message of hope to all those around you. So let that hope radiate from you. That's why we need victory in our life. Because we can't bring hope to others if we're in defeat. But we can't be defeated. Because of the blood of Jesus. But we have to apply the blood. We have to appropriate the blood to be victorious. Amen?
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Y'all are catching on. I like it. He is risen.
Hallelujah.
Indeed. Amen.